Chapter 79. My lady's lips move, but they utter nothing. She shakes her head. Not connected? Says Mr. Guppy.
Oh.
Not to your ladyship's knowledge, perhaps?
Ah.
But might be?
Yes.
After each of these interrogatories, she has inclined her head.
Very good.
Now, this Miss Barbary was extremely close, seems to have been extraordinarily close for a female, females being generally in common life at least, rather given to conversation, and my witness never had an idea whether she possessed a single relative. On one occasion, and only one, she seems to have been confidential to my witness on a single point, and she then told her that the little girl's real name was not Esther Summerson, but Esther Auden.
My God!
Mr. Guppy stares. Lady Dedlock sits before him looking him through, with the same dark shade upon her face, in the same attitude even to the holding of the screen, with her lips a little apart, her brow a little contracted, but for the moment dead. He sees her consciousness return, sees a tremor pass across her frame like a ripple over water, sees her lips shake, sees her compose them by a great effort, sees her force herself back to the knowledge of his presence, and of what he has said. All this, so quickly, that her exclamation and her dead condition seem to have passed away like the features of those long-preserved dead bodies sometimes opened up in tombs, which, struck by the air like lightning, vanish in a breath. Your ladyship is acquainted with the name of Auden?
I have heard it before.
Name of any collateral or remote branch of your ladyship's family?
No.
Now, your ladyship, says Mr. Guppy, I come to the last point of the case, so far as I have got it up. It's going on, and I shall gather it up closer and closer as it goes on. Your ladyship must know, if your ladyship don't happen, by any chance, to know already, that there was found dead at the house of a person named Crook, near Chancery Lane, some time ago, a law writer in great distress. Upon which law writer there was an inquest, and which law writer was an anonymous character, his name being unknown. But, your ladyship, I have discovered very lately that that law writer's name was Auden. And what is that to me?
Your ladyship, that's the question.
Now, your ladyship, a queer thing happened after that man's death. A lady started up, a disguised lady, your ladyship, who went to look at the scene of action, and went to look at his grave. She hired a crossing sweeping boy to show it her. If your ladyship would wish to have the boy produced in corroboration of this statement, I can lay my hand upon him at any time. The wretched boy is nothing to my lady, and she does not wish to have him produced.
Oh, I assure your ladyship it's a very queer start indeed, says Mr. Guppy.
If you was to hear him tell about the rings that sparkled on her fingers when she took her glove off, you'd think it quite romantic. There are diamonds glittering on the hand that holds the screen. My lady trifles with the screen and makes them glitter more, again with that expression which in other times might have been so dangerous to the young man of the name of Guppy. It was supposed, your ladyship, that he left no rag or scrap behind him by which he could be possibly identified. But he did. He left a bundle of old letters. The screen still goes, as before. All this time her eyes never once release him. They were taken and secreted. And tomorrow night, your ladyship, they will come into my possession. Still I ask you, what is this to me?
Your ladyship, I conclude with that.
Mr. Guppy rises. If you think there's enough in this chain of circumstances put together in the undoubted strong likeness of this young lady to your ladyship, which is a positive fact for a jury, in her having been brought up by Miss Barbary, in Miss Barbary stating Miss Summerson's real name to be Auden, in your ladyship's knowing both these names very well, and in Auden's dying as he did to give your ladyship a family interest in going further into the case, I will bring these papers here. I don't know what they are, except that they are old letters. I have never had them in my possession yet.
I will bring those papers here as soon as I get them and go over them for the first time with your ladyship. I have told your ladyship my object. I have told your ladyship that I should be placed in a very disagreeable situation if any complaint was made, and all is in strict confidence. Is this the full purpose of the young man of the name of Guppy, or has he any other? Do his words disclose the length, breadth, depth of his object and suspicion in coming here, or if not, what do they hide? He is a match for my lady there. She may look at him, but he can look at the table and keep that witness box face of his from telling anything. You may bring the letters, says my lady, if you choose. Your ladyship is not very encouraging, upon my word and honor, says Mr. Guppy, a little injured. You may bring the letters, she repeats in the same tone, if you please. It shall be done. I wish your ladyship good day. On a table near her is a rich bauble of a casket, barred and clasped like an old strong chest. She, looking at him still, takes it to her and unlocks it. Oh, I assure your ladyship I am not actuated by any motives of that sort, says Mr. Guppy, and I couldn't accept anything of the kind. I wish your ladyship good day, and am much obliged to you all the same. So the young man makes his bow and goes downstairs, where the supercilious Mercury does not consider himself called upon to leave his Olympus by the hall fire to let the young man out. As Sir Leicester basks in his library and dozes over his newspaper, is there no influence in the house to startle him, not to say to make the very trees at Chesney Wold fling up their knotted arms, the very portraits frown, the very armor stir? No. Words, sobs, and cries are but air, and air is so shut in, and shut out throughout the house in town, that sounds need be uttered trumpet-tongued indeed by my lady in her chamber to carry any faint vibration to Sir Leicester's ears. And yet this cry is in the house, going upward from a wild figure on its knees. Oh my child, not dead in the first hours of her life, as my cruel sister told me, but sternly nurtured by her, after she had renounced me and my name. Oh my child, oh my child. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.